Open up your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you have given unto us, and the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. Show us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. We thank you that every time we open up your word, that we have the ability to learn from you and learn from Jesus as we take his yoke upon us, as it's light and it's easy. And we thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this man. I thank you that you're holding him up strong, that he's going to be guided by the supernatural wisdom of God, that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is going to flow through his soul, through his mind, causing him to be clear and precise, that every move he makes is going to be right. It's going to be guided by the Spirit of God. We thank you for these things, that as he goes about this adventure, that everything that he touches is going to be blessed, and that the things around him are going to line up. In Jesus' name, amen. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. You got to get this. Look, open up here to chapter 28. Go to verse 2. It says, all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. The blessing of God comes upon you. Now, get this. When you get born again, that blessing comes upon you. Okay? It's not something that you can earn or deserve. God called a man named Abram. He said, get out of your country. Get away from your kindred. Follow me. So Abram, he did almost everything right. He got out of his country, but he brought his nephew Lot. See, he didn't do everything right. But he got out of the country, and he wandered around out there, and God started telling him these things, prophesying these promises to him, said, you're going to be a blessed man, father of many nations. Abraham, he said, how will I know that these things be true? And God said, take me a heifer. He told him all this stuff. Take me a heifer and cut it right down the middle. That just sounds like another cow chopping exercise to the Western world. But what God told Abraham, when you cut a heifer right down the middle, Abraham knew immediately he was going to cut a covenant with him. He was going to cut a covenant with God. And when you did this, you made a hewn out trough in the ground. Then you put that heifer in there, you cut her in half, and then you walked around in a figure eight pattern through these carcass pieces in the blood and then the goo and all that stuff, and you pronounced the blessings and you pronounced the cursings. All the blessings are right there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 14 verses. Then the cursing starts. All that starts. You know, if you keep this covenant, you're going to be blessed in the city. You're going to be blessed in the field. You're going to be blessed coming in. You're going to be blessed coming out. The fruit of your cattle is going to be blessed. Your children are going to be blessed. Your bowl is going to be blessed. Your basket's blessed. Your store's blessed. All these blessings are upon you if you keep this covenant. Now, before they, and also while they did that, after they did that, they go through there, and they said, if you break this covenant, all these curses are going to come on you. All these sicknesses, all these diseases. You're going to be poor. Your kids are going to be born naked. All this stuff. All this stuff. All these curses in there. Not the kids born naked, but all this stuff. They pronounced all these cursings. That's what happened. So everybody that walked in this figure eight through this blood and the guts and the goo in this trough were the covenant heads. And they were bound to that covenant. They had to walk that covenant perfectly. Now you might ask me, you said, well, why? If Abraham walked in this figure eight circle with God, and he didn't do everything right, why didn't he get cursed? Because he didn't walk in there. When it came to walk in them, in that covenant walk through that mess and pronounce the cursing and blessing, God laid Abraham to the side. And a deep sleep fell on Abram. And there was a smoking pot and a torch that signifies Jesus. Jesus walked in that covenant with God. He cut that covenant with God. So now Abraham was in a covenant of grace. He walked out there after that and he made mistakes. He made mistakes. That's how he came up with Ishmael. That was a mistake. But God still blessed him. Now the children of Israel, well, actually, we'll just go to Isaac. Isaac, he didn't do everything right, but he was still blessed. Jacob, he didn't do everything right, but he was still blessed. Now, let's look at this. Go to verse 1 of chapter 28. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, if you have any honesty in your bones whatsoever, when you look at that first verse, you'll know that you're not capable of doing that. It's impossible. The spring forward now to the children of Israel, they get into Egypt and they're held bondage there. You know, they're still in a covenant of grace. But they didn't know that. That had slipped away from them. Moses came and told them, God sent him to them to deliver them, to get them out of there. He brought them out of there with great signs and wonders. They got out into the wilderness and they followed God. He had a cloud over them by day, so they didn't get too hot. He had a pillar of fire by night, so they didn't get too cold. He guided them through there every step of the way. And they whined and cried and moaned every step of the way. They crossed the Red River, or they crossed not the Red River, they into the Promised Land. They crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And they whined and cried and moaned all the way. They thought they was going to starve, so God gave them manna from heaven and quails for meat. That sounds like a covenant of grace. They weren't doing anything right, but they were being well provided for. They're still in a covenant of grace. They get to Mount Sinai, and they told God, they said, you tell us what we need to do to be righteous before you. More than able to do that. God said, okay, here's the Ten Commandments. First thing they did was made a calf, a golden calf. The very first thing that happened, they broke the law. And then they continued to break the law. They could never be righteous on their own efforts. We're in the same boat. We can never, ever be righteous on our own efforts. We can never be good enough on our own efforts. But Jesus, the one that walked that covenant walk with God, he walked that perfect walk for us. Now we'll go to Galatians chapter 3. And we'll see what happened there. The children had... I'll tell you how impossible it was to keep the covenant for a man. To keep the law. There was supposed to be a year of Jubilee. And at that year of Jubilee, every debt was forgiven. Every slave was set free. Everybody that was put in bondage was set free. Everything was made right. They never once got to celebrate a year of Jubilee. Because they never, ever could keep the law. Those curses were on them. But look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Every time you read those two verses, make sure you read verse 29. If you be Christ, if you're born again, you are Christ. You belong to Him. That's important to know. You belong to Him. Then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. He fell heir to everything that Abraham had. Even more than you can even imagine. But you got redeemed from the curse of the law. All those curses after verse 14 in Genesis chapter 28, all those curses that came on the people, you got redeemed from that. Did you know that COVID-19 or the Wuhan virus, whatever they want to call it, that's part of the curse of the law. You do not qualify for that. You are under the blood. Amen. And you partake of His benefits every time you take that Last Supper, every time we take communion, every Sunday morning. When you take that, you place yourself in His protection, in His care, and you receive His healing. You're redeemed from this attack. Did you notice that you never caught bird flu either? Were any of you worried about catching bird flu? Stop that. Stop that. You don't have any reason to worry about catching coronavirus. And here's why it's so important for you to not worry about catching it. See, Job, he had a powerful covenant with God. And he had such a hedge of protection around him that even the devil himself couldn't get to him. But Job had tore a hole in his hedge. And God had to point it out to the devil. See, there's a hole in his hedge. And then the devil got in there and attacked him and ruined his life. Killed his family, killed his prosperity, killed his animals, tore his tents down. And then turned his wife into a miserable old bat. And he still didn't curse God, but this is the one thing he did say that clues us in. He said, that thing that I feared The things that I feared have fallen upon me. What was it? He worried. He was constantly out there doing sacrifices. He thought, maybe my kids have sinned. Fear is not your friend. That's false evidence appearing real. Fear is not to be tolerated. Amen? You are not to be afraid of catching these diseases. You're blessed in the city and you're blessed in the field. It's kind of a neat thing. How can you be blessed in the city and blessed in the field? In the Old Testament, they'd take this ox, this bull, and they would sacrifice him. And this was a big sin offering for the people. They'd take this bull into the inner court of the temple there, to the altar, to sacrifice him. And this is all inside the city walls. They take this bull in there and they do special things with the blood. They take that blood of that bull and they would put it on the horns of the altar, and they put it on the east side, on the north side, on the west side, but on the east side. Because Israel's enemies came from the east. He put the blood in between them and their enemies. But then they take that carcass and they take it outside of the city and they burn it outside of the city. Now that's an Old Testament type and shadow of Jesus. Now look over here to John chapter 19. Happened to Jesus himself. How he fulfilled that particular sacrifice so that you could be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. That means everywhere you're at. I know a lot of people sometimes think that if I just lived in this other city, I'll be blessed. If I had this other job, I'll be blessed. You know, if I could just get over to where I could go to this other church, I'll be blessed. If I could just do this, you know, if I wasn't my father's son, I'd be blessed. If my skin color was different, I'd be blessed. I could fit in. It's not about race. It's not about where you came from. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you came from. It doesn't matter your education level. None of that matters. It doesn't matter who your earthly mom and dad are. You know, there's a lot of rich people that are miserable. There's a lot of rich people that hate their very existence. What really matters is whose you are. Not who you are, whose you are. Who do you belong to? If you're born again, then you are Christ's and you're Abraham's seed. That means the blessing is upon you because of Jesus. Now look what Jesus did here. They took him to Pilate. Verse 1. Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now they're in the city. They're inside the city. When Jesus got scourged, he was inside the city. And he shed his blood inside the city. You're blessed inside the city. And, you know, he hadn't been to the cross yet. When he got scourged, that's when he got scourged for your healing. That is, by his stripes you were healed. There's a lot of other multitudes of blessings that happens. Everywhere he shed his blood, he got redemption for you. When he was at the rock, he sweat, as it were, drops of blood. And he said the prayer, he said, if it be your will, Father. He got back your will power right there. Isn't that cool? Then you notice, when you come under stress, you sweat. But then he put a crown of thorns on his forehead. He got redemption for you in your thinking too. Now you have the mind of Christ. Then he, after he got scourged, remember he shed his blood inside that city. After he got scourged, they took him out of the city to Golgotha, the hill of the skull, or the skull, whatever they... They took him there, and they put him on the cross, and they pierced his hands. Everything you touch is blessed. They pierced his feet. Everywhere the sole of your foot lands, God has given you. And then he died on that cross. He took every single sin that the world has ever, ever done upon him outside of the city. So you could be blessed outside of the city, in the country. Be blessed in the field. He was up there and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is mean, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's interesting because that's the first time that Jesus ever addressed God as God. Up until that point, he had always addressed him as Father. I only do what I see my Father do. Of my Father in heaven. Everything, every time he referred to God, it was always his Father. He had that personal one-on-one relationship with God. You know, that's the same personal one-on-one relationship that you get when you get born again. He is now your Father. He's more real than your earthly father. And he's a lot better. Amen? You might have had a really good dad on this earth, but he can't even compare to our Father in heaven. Now, when he said that, why have you forsaken me? God had turned his face away from him. That's the first time that he didn't ever have his eyes on him. He forsook him. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? That's good news for us. See, that's the gospel. Every time something horrible happened to Jesus, something really, really, really good happened to us. Now, because he was forsaken, we are accepted. Because God turned his eyes from Jesus, he'll never, ever turn his eyes away from us. Because God forsook him on that cross, we are always accepted. Amen. Because of the blood of Jesus. That's why we're blessed inside and outside. That's why we're blessed coming in and going out. That's why we're blessed. We're blessed. Just say it. I'm blessed. Say it out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Well, I don't feel blessed. I don't look blessed. I don't smell blessed. We don't go by our sights. We go by faith. We're going to call things into existence that aren't. We're going to call things that aren't as though they are until they happen. You got to do this on purpose, and you got to do it with your mouth. You got to say, I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. By his stripes, I was healed. What do you need? What do you need in this life? You're going to have to say it with your mouth to make it happen. We're blessed. Say that often. I'm blessed and highly favored because of what Jesus did. Amen? You know, Jesus, He fulfilled every single part of the law. He never once made a mistake. So He didn't deserve to die a cursed death on a cross. You see, that was the penalty for breaking the law. But Jesus didn't break the law. He fulfilled it. So then He got on the cross. See, we never fulfilled the law one bit. We deserved the cross. He didn't. But since He got on the cross and took our place, He could swap places with us. Now we have taken His place. But you have to appropriate it in your life. When you got born again, this just automatically happened. But if you don't know it, you're not going to live in it. You're not going to walk in it. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're in right standing with Him. You've been redeemed from the curse of the law. God's not going to strike you with the lightning bolt for that sin you did last week. He's not. We are told to believe on Jesus. Believe on what He did. What did He do for you on that cross? What did He do for you in His death, His burial, and His resurrection? What did He earn for you? Find those things in the Bible. Find those things. And when you do, meditate on them and make them a part of you. You'll find yourself all over in the Bible, but you got to find yourself. I point them out to you all the time. You should be taking your Bible and circling these things. Amen? Thank You, Father, for Your word. We praise You in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us. Everything that He is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, always making intercession for us. We thank You for everything that He is going to do for us when He comes and gets us and completes our redemption. We thank You for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.